Production. Recorded live.
Well, hello, everybody, and I want to thank you all for joining us on Sermon Audio, listening to the Talk Shoe program, as well as we are now getting a number of Facebook, because I do post all of the live broadcasts on Facebook now, and so people are able to go that's linked over to Facebook, and then so it's not only live, but also I put Sermon Audio Talk Shoe on Facebook as well, so if you can't listen to it live, you can always go and link from Facebook to Sermon Audio and listen. So consequently, we're getting a number of people that have expressed a real interest in this. So tonight, our subject is the deceitfulness of riches, and we know the account in the Bible, the New Testament, Christ addressing the rich young ruler. And I want to welcome Linda Freeman to the program. She just joined us. It's Central Coastal California, and I'm not sure who that is. It may be Rick, whoever it is, welcome aboard. The rich young ruler said, you know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Christ said, well, you need to keep the commandments. And he says, I've kept them all from my youth. And he said, well, do one more thing. Go and sell all your goods and feed the poor and come and follow me. And it said, he said the rich young ruler went away sorrowful, for he had much riches. And so he was certainly deceived by his riches. So I'm going to turn the mic over to Kevin and have him kind of do an overview on the subject. And then after Kevin, we're going to get Mark Kennedy's input, and we'll just talk about this a little bit. Go ahead, Kevin.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Larry. We're going to talk tonight on the deceitfulness of riches. And when I hear the word deceitful, I think right away of something that's less than honest. It's trickery, as Brother Larry said. It's fraud. It's a lie. And I think of the riches of this kingdom, the kingdom of the world, and then the riches of the kingdom of God. And there's just no comparison. And there's a verse that says, if you desire their dainties, put a knife to your throat. And I don't know where that is, but Mark's going to find it, I know.
Okay, hold on.
dainties. Look up the word dainties, yeah. Desire their dainties. But, you know, Eve was attracted to that fruit. It was appealing to her, and there are things in the earth that are appealing to us because we have that sin nature in us. And what turns on one person may not turn on somebody else, but everybody certainly has something that they desire, and they will do almost anything to get it. So This is what we have to watch out for. The riches of Christ. I think of Moses. You know, it says that he forsook the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the greater riches of Christ to be with God's people. You know, he understood that he could have been the next Pharaoh of Egypt, but he forsook.
Excellent point. He had everything available to him, and God revealed to him that was not his calling.
Yes. It was just wonderful. And we all have that test. If we say we love Christ, he says to us, well, love me more than your wife, more than your children, more than your lands, more than your property. In other words, love him more than you love your own life. And we know the love that we had for ourselves and for our things, you know, before we were Christian. And then we became of a mind to follow Christ and be content and satisfied with the provision from our Heavenly Father. Because everything that we're going to get, we're not going to miss anything. Some Christians say, well, yeah, if you don't pray hard enough, you're not going to get what you want, what you're supposed to get. No, everybody has been allotted a portion. Even the unsaved, their portion, their inheritance, their their boundaries and habitations are all settled by God. Everybody comes into the world in the place where God sets them, and they all have in the use and in their possession the things that God gives them. And so, but the unsaved, they don't see that because they're blind to that. So
yeah.
then they're fighting and struggling among themselves to get the little part they hope to get. But mm-hmm. the Christian could just rest and be satisfied knowing that God is in control. We're going to get what he has for us. And that, and like I say, if you desire the dainties of the world, be careful. You may not be a child of God. You see, so
yeah.
We have died. It says that it says in Galatians, I think, those that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the lusts and the affections thereof.
Yeah.
And that's anything of materialism. It's all been crucified. It's all seen as nothing, you know.
Yeah.
And everything grows strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's very good. I've often thought about in my earlier life, when I was young coming up, I started out by running a small painting company, and I had a crew, and I was seeking materialism. At one time I had a Ranchero, all at one time, a Ranchero, a pickup, a Grand Prix, and a motorcycle, and I still wasn't. It was like a vacuum, you know. I wanted more and more and more, and
right.
it was not satisfying at all. It might satisfy for a day or so, and then I was on to want something else, you know.
Never enough.
And you become a slave to all those things because you have
That's
to
right.
maintain them.
That's right.
Or
you have
you have to guard them so nobody will steal them from you. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a wicked life, a terrible life. Yeah.
Yeah, Mark, why don't you give us your thoughts on this?
Okay. First of all, I affirm everything that Kevin said, and he's right. I found it. Proverbs 23, verse 3, and I'm going to read the first two verses to set it up. So Proverbs 23, verse 1, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee. Verse 2, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. And verse 3, be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Verse 3 of Proverbs 23.
That's good.
Yeah, that's good, Mark. Yeah,
okay.
Thanks.
So, the things, you know, chasing after the things of the world, you were just talking to Larry how you had the truck and the motorcycle and the ranch and the job and all that stuff. And it's, you know, when, you know, if some is good, more is better. It's never enough from the viewpoint of the world.
Right.
That's right.
Years and years ago, I remember seeing a bumper sticker on a car or something somewhere. I don't remember where I saw this, but I saw a phrase, he who dies with the most toys wins.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Mm-hmm,
What are we, what is this? You know, it's, and that to me is an indication of the, empty philosophy of materialism that the world pursues, you only have this one life, so live it to the fullest, grab everything that you can get your hands on and go for it. Just go for it.
Right.
So that's my thoughts on this subject.
Yeah, it is very deceptive because a lot of people are buying into that. And you know, you look at people out there today, and they'll spend half of their income on their car payment, and maybe half, the other half on their mortgage payment. And like it's like Kevin said, they're slave to their own lust for showing off all of what they don't own. You know, they don't own it. It's not theirs. The bank owns it. But they want everybody to think it's theirs, you know.
Yeah.
And
they're spending money that they have not actually got a paycheck on yet. And
so the
whole credit card industry, it's pretty criminal, I think, and it should be outlawed.
You know, I heard, you guys may have heard this, but there was this very wealthy fellow that died, and he requested of his wife that she put in his coffin $50,000 cash in his hand so that he would have that $50,000 cash in his hand when she buried him. And so they were at the funeral, and she put the $50,000 cash in his hand, and somebody saw her over by the coffin lifting the coffin up, doing something there. And so they went over there, and they said, "What are you doing?" And she said, "You know, I've been doing a lot of thinking, and this cash isn't going to do him any good. I've decided I'm just going to write him a check."
Yeah, right. And then she can, bounce it. Yeah,
stop payment.
Yeah,
that is too funny. That's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Need the cash. I'll write him a check.
Now, Jesus said something. He said, "The measure of a man does not consist in the material things that he owns."
And
I remember reading that when I was living the life that I had. And anybody would ask the question, well, how is a man measured if not by the things he owns? You know, when you meet somebody, you say, well, what do you do? You know, what do you do? Not what are you? But what do you do? And if you don't answer in an impressive way, then you're not thought to be much. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I had that thought long time ago. We don't know who we are. Why do people, when asked who they are, or they say, "Oh, I'm a this," or "I'm a that," "I'm an accountant," "I'm a sports writer," whatever, you know.
And
they try to embellish it. They try to embellish it as best they can. It's like if you're a trash man, they say they're a sanitation engineer.
That's right. Exactly. That's right. That's right.
Which is indicative of how deceitful this whole philosophy of the world is.
Realism.
You're only as good as what you have in your pocket and the keys and what you drive and the clothes you wear and all. It's a dead end road. It's an empty, because once you start down that road of credit and spending money you haven't actually earned yet, they've got their hooks in you. And they're not going to let you go. Where do you think you're going? We got you.
Yeah.
We own you. We gave you money, and you bought things with it that you haven't actually earned yet. Where do you think you're going? Sit down there and shut up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there's a scripture, I'm not sure we might be able to look it up, but this, the context says, be content whatever state you're in. In other words, don't constantly be dissatisfied and seeking after. They used to have a saying when I was coming up, you know, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence.
I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul said. I have been in plenty, I have abounded, and I have been in lack, and I have learned how to, you know, be satisfied in each situation.
Right,
yes.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I think sometimes people put such an emphasis on, they're so concerned about, I've met some people that are misers. They're on the other side, but they've still made money their God. In other words, they're so fearful to spend a dime. They save every, they pinch every little penny, and they they put it away, and I know some people that have enough money, they could spend money from now on out and still die and have, they don't know what they're going to do with all their money, but they're still pinching.
Yeah.
And they won't help the poor, they won't reach out and give. They're just kind of serving their own fear, I guess you'd call it.
They won't even put it in a bank account. They'll stuff it in their mattress.
Yeah.
they're so tight with the money that they'll cause the Indian to go on the war path and the buffalo to stampede.
You know, Paul addresses that a lot. Remember, one of the churches refused, never gave to him, and he was applauding one of the churches because they gave to him when the other churches wouldn't give. And, you know, Paul, I admire Paul because he worked with his own hand. He was a tent maker. He did try to go out and live of the gospel. He earned his way as he went, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, he said he had the right to take the money.
Right.
You remember? Yeah, he said, you don't muzzle the threshing ox, and those that labor in the gospel should eat of the gospel. You know?
Yeah.
But that would be for the pastors, the elders in a local assembly that would look for the support of the congregation. But Paul was an apostle traveling all over, and he didn't want it said of him that he was on the take. You know, I liked how he told them to give them some of their people to go with him to Jerusalem to give the offering. That was really good. The accountability of money in the church is very important. Very important.
I agree with that. And I think also, you know, the accountability of, you know, of everything we, in other words, I had a minister one time, and I just had asked a question about something that he had, what I thought was a very poor comment he'd made from the pulpit, and I just called him, you know, at home, you know, I didn't do it publicly, and I just questioned him about it. You know what he told me? I'm not accountable to you, you know.
Yeah, oh, sure, yeah.
But we are all accountable to each other, you know.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And that's why the multiplicity of elders in an assembly is very important.
I agree.
And it's such a blessing. I'm reminded of another proverb. Somewhere else in Proverbs, do not wear yourself out to get rich. Count your plants at riches, and they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's
right. Yeah.
And when we start our lives, when people are young, they get sucked into the horrendous values of personal peace and affluence.
Yeah,
and,
right.
Thank God that He has delivered us from that.
Yeah, that's right.
That's part of what Satan ensnares people into, chasing after temporal things of this life that are not going to be translated into the eternal kingdom of God.
Yeah,
that's right.
I wonder what the meaning. You remember when Jesus was tempted of the serpent in the wilderness, and Satan said to him, "Bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world, for they are mine to give to whomever I choose." You know.
Yeah,
and
that is
that's
interesting. You know, makes you wonder how much. We know that Satan is on a leash, but we wonder sometimes how long that leash is. You know.
Right. Well, before Christ won the victory over him, he probably did have control of who he would give the things of the world to. And maybe God gave that to him.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I had shared on this morning's devotional and a couple other times. I had watched a video by Lord Rothschild, and I find it interesting they call him Lord. But anyway, he's now in his upper 80s, and he recently was building a huge building, an edifice, an archive of all of his artworks. And that particular day, he had just bought another art piece for $5 million, you know. Mm-hmm. And they say he is worth literally trillions of dollars personally. Mm-hmm. And I was watching him, and he was placing the furniture in this building, and he was so particular about, can you move that over about another inch and a half? And, mm-hmm. and I mean, everything had to be just perfect. And I got so tickled watching him, and I was thinking about kind of what you said earlier, Kevin. This guy is totally enslaved to what he has.
Yeah, exactly.
It's pretty sad.
And then it says, and after you leave, how do you know who's going to get it after you?
That's right.
Yeah. That's interesting because he was being interviewed and they asked him that question because he has a daughter and he has two sons. And they said, who's going to get the lion's share of your wealth? And he said, that's a very personal question and I don't like the fact you're asking me that.
Because he hasn't decided yet, probably. That's usually something done at the last minute.
What's that rich young man?
Yeah.
And he said, tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And Jesus said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required. Then who shall get what thou so selfishly stored up for thyself?
Right. Yeah, amen. Well, you remember,
I was also thinking about Solomon, you know. He asked at the beginning of his kingdom, he asked for wisdom and God gave it. And God gave him riches beyond all measure. We know that the temple and everything. But yet, I think in part, the deceitfulness of riches and when he married all of these foreign women and he started to erect gods to them, that was part of his, God was not pleased with that.
No. Right. That's right. Well, he said also in Ecclesiastes, because the things he wrote about were the things as he perceived them under the sun.
Yeah.
So they were earthly matters. And in one line he said, money answers all things.
There you go.
Yeah. And to the unbeliever, that is the answer. I mean, but money will certainly take him to wherever he wants to be.
Right. And I think at the end of his life, I think he must have wrote Ecclesiastes toward the end of his life, you know, vanity, vanity, all vanity. The preacher, you know.
Yeah, that's good.
Yep.
But the spiritual man sees something that the natural man doesn't see. So we esteem the riches of this world as being deceitful because they do blind the eyes of the unsaved. And then we see the things that are eternal and which are
right.
I mean, anything in this life, no matter how beautiful the new item is that you buy, it starts to get rusty and it gets dusty and dirty. And of course, they have planned obsolescence built into these things now.
So you have to run out and buy another one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We're totally a throwaway society. You're right.
It's just a terrible situation, but it's in futility all the time. You're always chasing something, Apple's got you chasing the next thing, you know.
The next system, the next computer, the next laptop, the next that or the other thing, and then
Then
we throw the previous things away, and we're running out of space. And places to throw things away.
When I think
of the amount of trash that everybody in LA County generates in a year's time, it just best be a mountain of trash. I mean, where are they going to put all that stuff?
Yeah, sure.
And it's gonna sit there and fester and cause problems, mm-hmm. and all the chemicals that go into all that plastic and stuff start melting sure. into the groundwater, and then we drink the groundwater and get cancer.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's also some practical instruction by Christ himself regarding stewardship. You know, I mean, because he talks about how the three different men, the one that was given three talents, one was given two, and one was given one, and
mm-hmm.
out of three, the one with three was very discretionary in how he used the money and invested it, and
yeah.
then the one that went and hit his talent in the ground, we see what happened. So I think there's a lesson for us there, and I think I think young people should be taught, you know, practical instruction on economics, on how they should. In other words, if I had been taught at a young age, like Mark said, not to get on credit cards, to pay with cash, don't buy it if you can't pay for it. If I had just been taught those principles, in a very succinct manner, and if I, and by the way, if I'd adhere to those instructions, that's the other problem.
Yeah. Sure.
I would be in a lot better situation today if I had been taught that.
Yeah.
You know.
Right. Sure.
There's this guy on one of the conservative radio, talk radio, AM radio stations that I listen to, Clark Howard, I think his name, and he's got this saying, he's got this pithy little saying that he repeats from time to time, debt is dumb.
Yeah, that's true.
And I agree with him.
I am so glad that, you know, about 15 years ago, we've all had to go through things and learn things. God teaches us, like, takes us to the woodshed. But I'm glad that God did show me that I needed to economically get in a situation where I did not owe any man. You know, we're told in the Bible that the borrower is the servant to the lender, you know.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Is Brother Chris with us tonight?
No, I don't believe he is.
Oh, okay.
Who is that other brother that spoke up, though, a little while ago?
Rick. Oh, Rick, are you with us?
Yes. I got some time time down here from my labor.
Well, I'm very glad to have you, Rick, and whenever you send me your instant messaging, even though our messaging back and forth is brief, like a thumbs up or whatever, I really do enjoy hearing from you. How have you and your lovely wife been?
We're working and we're working down here in Malibu and different clients I'm really enjoying this topic as far as the deceitfulness, because it deals with that soil and the seed, and the covetousness that takes us away. Like Kevin had mentioned, that's the way my wife says as far as ingesting the Word of God, because we are what we eat, and the nutrition. It's just like somebody with the deceitfulness of riches. If it's not coming from God, it's coming from Satan, it's just like somebody giving us cotton candy when our regular diet was cornbread and turnip greens. You get this, you think you're getting this great big deal, you go to the circus and get that big old lump of cotton candy and you take a bite out of it and it's nothing but stinking hot air and sugar.
That's true.
Right. Good example. You know, it's kind of like some of the snow cones too. You know,
that's it.
or the funnel cakes. You know, not a lot thicker.
Yeah.
Oh,
there's nothing
I think about you often. About you, really have a ministry, really, in serving people, because I think when people have health issues or they're in the senior part of their lives,
yeah,
oftentimes they're reliving the past, and I think a lot of times as we get older, we start reprioritizing things that were once important are no longer important, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because in the younger, you know, if they don't know about, you know, forgiveness and, you know, forgiving one another,
yeah,
and whatever, they suppress those, like what I've come across is a term called holding down your beach balls in life. And then under the water, and the older we get, when we lose our strength to hold all those beach balls down, they start popping up one at a time like popcorn. You know, not being able to, not dealing with them, or not knowing how to deal with them when they do pop up, you know,
right,
in our older life and all that. So I have an opportunity to just, you know, share with them, you lead them in the area of forgiveness. You know, like I have one client right now, suicidal and all that. And he's still again, scripture, pray for him and all that. And he still wants to commit suicide, the famous architect, all that. But still, there's one of the beach balls is down there is being abused by his alcoholic dad. You know,
yeah.
And so, and not when it's embedded, when that abuse is embedded, I love talking to you, Larry, as far as being a social worker, and you've had all these cases, probably, you know,
yeah,
across the board, and they're, but it's just like peeling an onion. And getting to that, what I call the goody, you know, that's causing all these symptoms, is you have to go to the root problem first. And psychotropic drugs is the only answer. That's another deceitfulness of riches, is to get the riches to buy the med. You're not going to go homeopathic, or you're not going to depend on the great physician, you know, to
right,
to heal, or to give you the grace to sustain it until he does, because Paul says,
right,
out of them all the Lord delivered. I think that's someplace in Timothy or something,
yeah,
like that. He lost his head, but the same as this one evangelist, the Spirit of God would have him go to college campuses and preach on campus, and he shut down communism, and but he would get beat up, and then he'd go to the ER and you get the diagnosis, and then they ask God to heal them.
Yeah.
You know, so Jesus says, as your faith is, be it unto you.
You know, I was thinking as you were talking about that, you made the point a while ago, which is so good, about the aspect of forgiveness, because forgiveness is a great healer in itself.
It is.
Because forgiveness heals our emotions. It heals our relationships. It heals also, you know, Christ said, if you don't forgive, I won't forgive you. And so it also brings about our own reconciliation with Christ himself, you know.
And the sovereignty of God said, he said, my Father will hand you over to the tormentors.
Yeah.
That's still in the sovereignty of God of unforgiveness, and when we don't do what the Word of God says, as far as in the area of unforgiveness, he says, my Father will hand us over to the tormentors. So that's why you're right. It's paramount to forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Yes.
Right.
You know, it's like a trespass against God when we desire the things of this world instead of seeking first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and he'll add all these things unto us, you know, starting with the Word of God, you know, starting the Word of God over all these other things that he's going to go ahead and he knows what we need anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, that's very biblical. He says, you know, that he will provide all of our needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And he also says that, you know, that if we first proclaim the kingdom of God, all these things will be added to us. But
right.
if our focus is not on Christ and it's on all these other things,
that's right.
It's just going to be a vacuum. It's like Mark and Kevin were saying a while ago. You know,
that's
you
right.
you can just keep piling it on, and the more you pile it on, the deeper enslaved you become. You know,
that's right. And the more public storage bins you rent every year, or rent every month.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I was driving. I like to go out to the beautiful country. I love the scripture that says that his mercies are new every morning, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
And the other day I was out, and we were going to this state park, and I got so tickled because there was this guy, and he had one of these big 4x4 trucks with a diesel engine, and behind it he had a huge camper. It had to be, it was about the size of a motorhome, okay? And behind the motorhome, he had a boat, and the boat was huge. It was a yacht. And behind the yacht, he had a little thing holding his motorcycle, okay? And I just thought, wow, you know, this guy is ready to go camping, you know? And here I was in my little minivan, and we take day trips. And I told Rosette, you know, most of the time that we spend in state parks are like 20 minutes, and we're out of there.
Yeah.
This guy was just getting his RV backed in by the time we were ready to move, you know.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's amazing.
And he didn't seem very happy either. He looked like he was not happy at all. Okay.
No, because he probably had a wife at home and the little child. Daddy, can we do this or that or the other thing?
Yeah.
In other words, he had 10 different things clamoring for his attention at any one time.
Yeah. You know, we have a hatchery out here. It's a trout hatchery.
Oh.
And it's called Roaring River State Park. Beautiful area. And we like to go out there and walk our little dog. And we were out there the other day. And I just got so tickled watching people. I mean, their fishing gear, some of their fishing gear is $600-$700 fishing gear, you know. What people get into, you know, hobbies are fine, but, you know, like Kevin was saying, when it begins to control your life to the point where you're afraid you're going to cast a line wrong or you might mess up your $500 fishing pole, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad that God has shown us the reality of the spiritual implications that all of these things are going to vanish away, and that the most important thing is who we know and where we're going, not where we're from. Okay.
Yeah, that's perfect.
That's really the message tonight. And, I think Mark said earlier about talking about how the banks and the people that loan the money, how they own people. Well, we can see the same thing in our government and in our congressmen and in our, because what happens is the people in power try to get someone to, they try to jeopardize them. They try to get something over on them, either money or something, so they can blackmail them, extort, and so they can get what they want out of that person. And that's really Satan in a nutshell. That's what he tries to do to all of us, you know, is to entrap us. and it's apparent, you know. And but God is the one that can give us the strength to resist the devil. It says, resist the devil and he will flee from you, okay?
Yeah.
And, yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'm thinking of that verse that we were just talking about a little while ago. Are we all on still?
Yes. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. The where Jesus says, if you don't forgive others, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be in terms of a temporal consideration in our fellowship with our heavenly Father.
Not
to be seen as an eternal judgment that we would be damned if we didn't forgive somebody. Yeah, that's important to see, because that would interfere with our assurance of eternal life.
Uh-huh. That's right, and we would be we would always be asking, "Oh, did I forgive that person enough, or am I going to lose my salvation?"
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
As a
believer, we're given a heart to recognize the suffering that Christ underwent for us, that we can easily forgive others for their trespasses against us, because we know that God has forgiven our trespasses. So that it is a natural thing in the spirit for us to forgive people. And I don't have a problem with that.
Well, and I think also, we're told in Hebrews, I love Hebrews because it talks about this unchangeable priesthood. And also the aspect of an eternal mediator, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm reading here in Hebrews 7:24 and 25, this man Jesus, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God, for by him, seeing he ever liveth, to make intercession for them.
Yeah,
that's a comfort to me, you know. With all of our falterings and failings and our struggles in the flesh and everything else, I know that we're growing in the grace and the knowledge of Christ, but I also know that I need a continual mediator, you know.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah. Yeah, and remember Jesus said the Father always hears my prayer? You know,
yeah.
So when Christ makes intercession for the saints, the Father hears it, and it will be done. You know,
right.
It's wonderful.
It is. Well, Rick, I'm sure glad you could join us tonight. It was a wonderful thing hearing your voice and being able to talk to you a little bit. And I loved the example you gave of the beach balls. I'd never heard that before. A beach ball's popping up. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that is good because that ball is coming up.
Oh, yeah, I see Rick had to leave. Now, what happens is when Rick is working, he'll call in sometimes, but then he has to leave because he gets called, you know. Because he's on high call because of medical emergencies and stuff. So
that's what's going on with What state is he in?
He's in Malibu, California.
Oh, okay.
He's talked to Chris several times, and I've got to know him over the last couple of years. I really enjoyed his fellowship. He's a great brother in the Lord. Him and his wife both serve in assisted living, independent living situations with people, you know,
work.
I was thinking you were talking, Kevin. I was thinking when you were talking about how that there is such a distinction between those who are in Christ and their priorities and those who are not. And in the 17th chapter of John again, he says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. And he goes on later on, as you know, and he says, I pray for them, I pray not for the world. And so there is a distinct difference between, you know, Christ's relationship to his creation and his creation to his elect, you know.
Right. Yeah, and he said, and they have known that I have come out from thee.
Yes.
Now, when you think of that, you put that with the verse where Jesus said, all that are taught and have learned of my Father will come to me.
Yeah.
See, we have an innate spiritual sense, but we didn't have the direction of it to Christ. But
right.
We were being taught of God to come to Christ, and eventually at the moment that he had designated for us to do so, we did. You know, but
yeah.
we were instructed about Christ before we even came to Christ.
Yes. Yes, and that's part of that passage where he prays, mm-hmm. sanctify them through thy truth,
mm-hmm.
thy word is truth, and then he mm-hmm. says, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even mm-hmm. as I am not of the world. So, I love the 17th chapter of John. I mean, when he starts out in verse 2, I love verse 2, thou hast given him power over all flesh that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. You know?
Amen. Yes. And you know, there's one verse in that chapter that says, the glory, Father, that I had with thee from the beginning, I have given to them.
Yeah.
You know, so all of the elect have that glory, which we can't even imagine what that's going to be like.
Right.
You know, but it's ours. And that is the real riches. It's an enduring and never ending wealth. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, this glory that you're talking about, it seems mm-hmm. like even though he had the glory before,
mm-hmm.
he had even more glory afterwards, because he says in verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou mm-hmm. lovest me before the foundation of the world. And he says that, and we've talked about this before, in verse 22, where he says, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them,
uh-huh.
that they may be one, even as we are one. I cannot even fathom what that all entails, you know.
Right, exactly.
It looks like Rick, hold on, Rick has come back with us. Rick, I saw you had to drop off there for a minute. But
right.
we're talking about the 17th chapter of John, and we've often talked about, you know, how can he share his glory with us? But yet he says, he prays, the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them that they may be one even as we are one.
That's
that
amazing,
just right? That blows my mind.
Amen.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
He couldn't be lying to his father.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, he's talking. He's having a conversation with his father from the foundation that he had with him before the foundation of the world. And he's having a conversation with him. That's what mm-hmm. prayer is: mm-hmm. having a conversation like we're having
right.
with his father. And he's saying, "I'm going to share the glory that you gave me with those that you gave me."
Amen. Yeah,
that's really wonderful.
That's It goes back to verse 5 and 6 of John 17.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word.
I kept thy word, amen.
Isn't that awesome? That's
beautiful.
Yeah. That goes beyond anything. This world can't hold a candle to that.
No.
That's That's right.
Yeah, I can't, you know, it's like that passage we've talked before in Ephesians where it says, He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He doesn't say some. He says all.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, like, you know, wow. I mean, how can that be? I mean, you know, it's overwhelming to think, to contemplate what that, and, you know, he says he's translated us in the kingdom of his dear son. And, you know, we are actually legally, right now, from a legal standpoint, we're already there. We just haven't gotten our glorified bodies yet.
Oh,
you know.
No, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, that's where we're seated in heaven. In heavenly place. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Then that thing about the adoption thing and stuff. You know, when they keep on hearing you from time to time, Larry, in your past social worker cases with adoption, that. Learn that in the court in the legal ownership of an adopted child, when a parent adopts a child, when they're given an inheritance, that adopted child can't lose that parent's inheritance.
Right.
By law.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I thought that was pretty awesome that we're adopted as Ephesians says, as adopted children by Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I love that
passage. Amen.
And the fact is that it was predetermined before the foundation of the world that we would be adopted, because he says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was predetermined beforehand that he was going to adopt us. And
amen.
But I like the fact that once he adopts us, he never unadopts us. Okay, in other words, because I sit in a lot of adoption courts and saw a lot of people get cold feet, decide they weren't going to go through with adopting a child. And here this child had their hopes all built up that they were going to have these wonderful parents, and the parents reneged on their commitment, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Or sometimes the teenager himself decides he doesn't want the parents. In other words, in the earth, everything is vacillating. It's going this way or that way, and you never know where it's going to end up. But with God, what he says is it's established, it's a fact, and we can go to the bank with it.
Yeah,
amen.
Amen. Thank you, heaven.
Now amen.
That doctrine we're already, I believe, don't they call that imputed righteousness or positional or imputed righteousness? We're already in heavenly places. Isn't that related to the doctrine of imputed righteousness?
Yes, and in fact, it's also related to what Kevin was talking about, is the absolute omnipotent power involved in it. He says in 19 of Ephesians, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who do love according to the working of his mighty power? It has nothing to do with us. It's all originates from him, you know.
It's my man.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
It is.
It's like the Mephibosheth. A cripple is a cripple, you know. And I remember, I don't know, some time back, how many years ago, Larry, that you were going around to your living room and saying to your wife and your son Mark, you know, and yourself, that we're all Mephibosheths. You know?
Yeah.
And because when David says, who can I show... who can I show kindness to? And that's our Father's loving kindness towards us.
Now, that's very good, because Mephibosheth was lame in both feet, so he couldn't go anywhere. He had to be picked up. He had to be picked up and carried. And that's how we were. We were helpless, and he picked us up, translated us into the kingdom of his dear son.
That's right, because I've had clients who've been paraplegic and stuff, you know, and like one was a a part-time stand-up comic and a lawyer, and sometimes he'd give me a line, you know, if he'd ask me something and I get distracted, he'd say, okay, Rick, don't make me get out of this chair.
Oh, that's cool. He's a comic.
That's funny.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, that's
I can really relate to that because the last 3 years, 2 years and a half, 2.5 years, I've been on a cane for the first time in my life. Mm. And so when I get a little discouraged, you know, or whatever, I'll think, well, wait a minute. I'm in good company. Jacob was leaning on his staff. The last,
that's
part
right.
of his life.
You're right. Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's beautiful.
Well, guys, I want to thank you tonight for joining us. I've really enjoyed the fellowship, and it's a beautiful
Amen.
Thing to be content in Christ and not be concerned about all of this stuff that's separate from Him.
Yeah.
We're everything is in Christ, you know. It's Mark was saying, to have the imputed righteousness of Christ is to have it all, you know. Is to have everything. We could not ask for anything more than to have the imputed righteousness of Christ, for He's done all things well. I want to thank you for joining us tonight. We're coming to the top of the hour, and we are planning on having a Wednesday night talk show. And Kevin, have you come up with a subject yet?
Yes, I have, and I'll email it to you.
Okay, good, and I'll look it over, and I'm excited to see what it is because you always come up with excellent material. I'll get that subject and that topic out to everybody. And Rick, I want to thank you again for joining us tonight. I've really enjoyed it. Mark,
it was nice meeting you, Rick.
Yeah, you did too, Kevin, Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Rick.
Well, Mark, thank you again for being with us. And guest two, I don't know who you are, or guest three, I don't know who you are, but you're always welcome to join in with us. So does anybody have any final comments before we end this broadcast, this call tonight?
Yeah, this is a joke about this blind rabbit and the blind snake in the same cage together, and neither one of them knows what the other one is. So the blind rabbit says to the blind snake, "Why don't you wrap yourself around me and see who I am?" And it says, "Okay." A couple of minutes later, he goes, "So what'd you find out?" He says, "Well, you're soft and furry, you have a cotton tail, and you have long ears. You must be a bunny rabbit." And he says, "Well, maybe so." And then the blind snake says to the blind rabbit, says, "Okay, your turn." And after a couple of minutes, he says, So what'd you find out? He says, "Well, first of all, you have the biggest mouth, you're smooth and slimy, and you're covered with diamonds. You're a TV preacher."
That's good.
Riches right there, you know.
I'll have to remember that one. You know.
Punchline again on that? What was the punchline again on that? You must be a preacher?
You're a TV preacher.
TV preacher, TV evangelist.
So the thought I had was we can use this world. We don't despise it because we find it very comforting and of necessity to us in our Christian walk. But we're not abused by it. We have to be careful not to use it to excess. And in moderation, you know, and just
I think that like I said on the last broadcast, I sense that the good Lord is really opening the eyes and ears of a lot of people in the third world countries, because I'm getting like 200 requests a day now on Facebook.
Praise God.
Well, praise the Lord. That's beautiful.
And like today, I was just, you know, it takes some time, but you know what? It doesn't take a lot of time to go on there and accept. And a lot of people say, "Well, how do you know they're not Armenian?" Or, "How do you know they're..." I don't. But I know one thing.
if they're going to reach out to me and ask for information, I'm going to give them the gospel, you know?
Exactly. Sure.
And, yeah. God doesn't have any conditions on who he gives salvation to. His condition, his election is unconditional election.
Amen.
I was an Arminian, okay? I was a hyper-Arminian for years, but God changed all that, okay? So anyway, well, listen, guys, I'm gonna call it a night, and I thank you again, and we'll look forward to seeing you all Wednesday night on Talk Show if you can be with us. And so good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you, brothers.
Good night.
God bless you, Mark. God bless you, Rick.